Jesus Christ, according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not in this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you.
Thank you so much, Nikki. I'm going to now spotlight Jenny, and I'm going to stop sharing the slides so that we can all see her. You have to unmute yourself, Jenny.
I speak in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. If you've seen a shepherd at work, you can see the care that they have for their sheep. They'll do everything they can to look after them. Now, Jesus knew about the farming and sheep, and he would have known the 23rd Psalm too. Shepherds will protect. And if any of you watch the Yorkshire farm, you'll see the lengths that they go in struggling in difficult weather conditions to care for their sheep high up on the North Moors. And Matt Baker's parents farm too, where Matt is helping them in their struggles following his mum's accident. So, have you been struggling with issues in our world these days? I have. Now, the people who John is writing to in his letters are that this were certainly struggling. This first letter was written to the church who was struggling with the issues of their day. They needed direction. They were given basic instructions. John wrote that it was not their task to figure out the precise and exact position on political and moral issues. Their task was to love one another. Life had become complex. The faith community had forgotten who they were and what they were about. They needed to be reminded that to be believers in Jesus Christ, that great shepherd, they had a direct connection with their actions and deeds. What they needed to practice was real love. Real love is not just accepting Christ and believing in him. Real life means that our faith is lived out by what we do and by what the people John was talking to, writing to, do. Today, people do criticize the church more than anything when we profess to be loving but practice exclusiveness. To either reject or exclude others will be seen as hypocritical. I expect you know of the phrase, practice what you preach. And what was happening in John's time was they didn't practice what they were preaching in their faith community. John is saying, do it, practice love. And Jesus in the gospel reading tells us that the good shepherd Jesus is going to lay down his life for his sheep. We know that sheep follow their mothers and the shepherds look after them. Jesus sacrificed himself. Real love also means to live a life of sacrifice. These were also some of Jesus' final words to his disciples. He said, "No one has greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends." So John is telling his community of faith, that the needs of others must come first. It's not just being friendly or neighbourly. It's a relationship that requires personal sacrifice and commitment. Real love means we have the courage to step up to the situation when we see someone who's sad, lonely, afraid, in need. John touches on some themes we have already heard. God's deep love for us, abiding in that love, believing that Jesus is the Son of God who died for us, for our sins, and obeying Jesus' command. Jesus is God's Son, and we know that he loves us because he laid down his life for us. That's you and me. Okay, we might think it's that simple, but as we ponder what John means, we begin to wonder, how exactly are we supposed to lay down our lives for each other? Does he mean we need to die for one another just as Jesus did? Jesus is the Good Shepherd. He guided his disciples. He taught them, he prayed with them and for them, so that they could continue to spread this good news of Jesus to the new communities, to the communities far and wide, to John's community. Jesus died for all of us, not holding back. So how will our dying for each other prove anything? John's point is that we need to be committed to sharing God's love and be willing to give our entire being to that purpose. Our lives are to be a living sacrifice. So we need to redirect our desires and turn towards loving each other. So laying down our lives may mean sacrificing some of the things we like doing. That keeps us occupied. We must occupy ourselves to notice others and their needs. Laying down our lives might mean stopping what we want to do rather than starting something, but to start something for others. We offer love and friendship to others to really get to know them. Laying down our lives could be taking the time to listen. Listen to someone who's troubled, worried, sad. To help others, being alive to others, putting their needs ahead of our own as an act of love. During the past year, many people have changed the way they've done things, and by focusing on others. The WhatsApp prayers are a wonderful example. And picking up the phone to talk to people and meeting people now in our garden, taking little gifts to people who are lonely or we're praying for. Praying for Myanmar and other important issues. The images we have seen is a real show of their faith in action, and we must continue to set aside time to pray for them. We can sacrifice some time, and we can do this by praying and to abide in God's love. As John says, "Little children, let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action." Loving in truth and action does mean sacrifice, but it isn't always the kind of action or sacrifice you'd expect. We can start seeing each person we meet as a beloved child of God, precious in God's eyes, created in God's likeness, just as we are. By recognizing that each person has something to offer to the community of faith, we begin to see everyone as a contributor, to reach out to others, drawing them into our fellowship. Sometimes we may fail. Sometimes we haven't done something as well as we would like, perhaps not paying attention to the needs of others. But we can place this before our loving Father, the Good Shepherd. He is gracious. Our assurance that Christ abides in us and we in him is grounded for us to obey his command. Believing in Christ and loving each other is all one thing. John reminds us that the Holy Spirit is right there with us to guide us towards this kind of living, this way of loving. This is how we make disciples to change the world, recognizing that every person we encounter is a beloved child of God, taking the time to draw attention to that person's value so they know just how great the Father's love really is. Loving others is not enough in itself. Loving others as an act of faith in Jesus Christ transforms us into the people God created us to be. So don't struggle. Talk to others and to God. Jesus is the Good Shepherd. He knows his sheep, and we must love one another as he loves us. Amen. And finish with a short prayer. Lord God, Good Shepherd, help us to fix our eyes on you today so you can surprise us afresh with your wisdom, your passion, your love and abundance, so we can truly call ourselves children of God. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jenny, and thank you for linking our loving one another with our brothers and sisters in Myanmar. We can all go and find a sheep after this, maybe find one and pin it up to remind us in our kitchens.